In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5, the Bible says, "Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility." And I want to emphasize this next phrase: "For God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble." And then verse 6, "Humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you." And I was thinking about that song. I think it's in the hymnal. We've sung it a few times. I think I just learned it when Brother Bill had the day of prayer. I had to go on YouTube and listen to it over and over again. That's how I learned new songs. But he giveth more grace as our burdens grow greater. He sendeth more strength as our labors increase. To added afflictions, he addeth his mercy. To multiplied trials, he multiplies peace. I know I've shared that as in a sermon before, that little phrase, because I like how it talks about as God tests us, he gives us more grace. And many of you have been through it. I've been through it where a time of trial comes, you lose a loved one. Everything seems to be going wrong and crazy and whatever you want to call it. And God gives you the extra measure of grace that you need to make it through. A person that loses a spouse, and many times you're there to comfort them, and they're a comfort to you because of the grace that God has given to them. Right? A couple people said it doesn't come from within the person. It comes from God, and the person is the conduit that passes it on. And I'll read another verse for you, Philippians. You probably know it. "My God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." We sing the little chorus, "He owns the cattle on a thousand hills." And God does have what we need. And sometimes we feel like there's a disconnect between what we need and what God has. And I was thinking about in my own life, when I get to the point where I think I'm not getting enough, fill in the blank, whatever it is, I know that God is real. I know that God owns everything, that God calls all the shots. You know, God's the king, heart of the king is in God's hand. And I know that God's in control, but I feel like that God's not meeting my needs. And we might feel that way from time to time, maybe the younger more than the older. But as the younger learns from the older, I'm trying to learn this process in my own life. And I wanted to share it with you tonight. God has a process for meeting our needs. We touched on it tonight already with the testimonies. But the first part of the process, and it's kind of a whole package deal. So I'm just going to tell you the whole outline right now. It's the first part is his word. The second part is his people. And the third part is his will. And they all reflect back on one another, and they're all necessary. I think it'd be very difficult to do one without the other two. It'd be very difficult to read the word of God and not associate with God's people. The Bible says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. It'd be really hard to want to do the will of God, but never look in the word of God. If we will say we want to know him, we want to follow him, then we should probably see what he said in his word. And it'd be very difficult, I think, to associate with the people of God and not read his word and not do his will. It wouldn't be comfortable. It wouldn't make sense. So that's my whole outline. I already told you the whole thing. You can fall asleep now. But I'll give you some filler in the middle. I'll give you some detail in the middle. So number one, God meets our needs through his word. Over and over again, Jesus, even when he was tempted of the devil, he said, "It is written." Jesus many times told parables, but when he was truly tested, when he was at his weakest point, and the devil tested him and offered him food after he'd been fasting, offered him the company and fame of the world loving him when he was all alone, Jesus said, "It is written." And sometimes the word of God may seem impersonal because it is written down. And I talked to the kids in Awana last week about why we have the written word of God. And Brother Leroy talked about it. It may seem impersonal because everybody gets the same message. I don't know about you, but if you ever get a letter in the mail and it just says, "Dear sir or madam, your bill's past due," or whatever it is, you know, you get a letter in the mail for whatever reason, it's a form letter. And you know that everybody in your situation got the same letter. Nobody sat down and said, "My dearest, whoever you are, you know, my dearest Adam, it has come to our attention that you have not paid your, whatever, your water bill." They sent that same letter to everybody. It was a form letter. And sometimes we look at the word God and say, "Well, I'm not special because I got the same message as everybody else." But the written word of God is better than the spoken word. And I shared some ideas with the kids last week, but that his word was important enough to write it down. Sometimes people say talk is cheap. You know, I'll make a promise to you. We're not going to shake hands. I might forget about it. But if you get it in writing, have somebody write it down. And I always tell people, I at least make sure I put it on my list, because if I don't write it down, I'll forget it. And God said, it's important enough that my word to you is written down, is recorded, it's preserved for us. Every word is important, and it's important to have it in front of you so you can go back and look at it again. If you find a word you don't understand, you can stop. If someone's speaking to you and you don't understand the terms they're using, the tendency to not look dumb is just to keep nodding your head, and you go on and you don't understand what was said because something unfamiliar was said. But God said, my word's important enough, I'm going to write it down. If you get confused, if you struggle, stop and find the meaning of the word. Talk to another Christian. And God's written word is more important than a spoken word in that case, because he said, I want you to hold it. I want you to hold on to it forever. It's settled in heaven. I want you to have your own copy. And again, we heard tonight, we should be thankful that our word of God is here right in front of us, that we're not waiting for any more, that it's complete. It's what we need, and we can use it in our life. God always meets our need through his word. Words are eternally powerful. The word of God is quick, powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. So I brought some props up here today. I'll try not to hurt myself, and I'll make sure I pack them all up before the kids are loose. I just found a knife back there. Now, nobody could leave here and say I threatened you with a knife. I'm laying it very non-threatening right there. But it's a one-edged sword. But any of you that have ever used a dull knife know that not every knife is a good tool. It's not a sharp knife. And I personally have gotten used to using so many dull tools that when someone hands me a sharp tool, I'm not careful with it. And the other day, one of the drywall guys was trying to show me something, and he's like, stop using that knife. Here, use my knife. As soon as I took it and began to use it like I had used the old one, I cut myself because I was used to the dull tool. And God's word is powerful. And sometimes we forget that the word of God is powerful. It's quick, sharper than any two-edged sword, that it does have power. And we have to be, I want to say the word careful, but we have to realize that God's word has power, that it is useful in every situation. You know, if this is the best knife in the whole world, but nobody ever picked it up and used it, it wouldn't do any good. And the same thing is true for the word of God. Someone has to speak it. Someone has to breathe their breath into it and say, this is what the word of God says, for God so loved the world. This is what God said in his word, and to use it, to apply it. The tool that you use makes a big difference in the quality of the work. Somebody said, 4 hours with me won't change anyone. 5 minutes with God can change everything. And many times we see the word of God and we realize we have a sharp, two-edged, useful tool, and we decide not to use it. We turn to man's help, like Pastor talks about. We turn to other good ideas, and we forget the best idea God ever had. You know, the salvation, we forget what God did for us to try to turn and use other tools. This makes me nervous, so I'll put it back here. But God's word is powerful. Number two, God meets our needs through his people. I want you to think about just for a second. No, just think about it for a second and then come back, because I don't want you to get lost. But think about the last interaction you had with another Christian that lasted more than 5 minutes. So maybe a conversation. It doesn't have to be positive. It could be something negative. It could be just two people that say they believe in Christ, believe in God, are Christians, and you talk to one another and think about what God taught you through that 5 minutes of conversation. And think about God uses people to meet needs. It could have been encouraging, could have been discouraging. The Bible says in Philemon that the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. For we have great joy and consolation in thy love, because the bowels of the saints are refreshed by thee, brother. Paul was writing to a fellow Christian, and he said, it's well known that the words that you use, the communication that you use, has helped your fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. They were refreshed by your words. God uses his word in the mouths of other people. When I was a kid and I was 2 years old, I didn't know how to read. So all I heard of the Bible was what a Sunday school teacher or my mom or my dad told me, this is what the Bible says. Once I learned how to read, I could read it and say, yep, that's what the Bible says. But for a good while, the first chunk of my life, I had to take it from the mouths of another person. God had to use his people to tell me God's word. Words and actions translate into the blessings, translate the blessings and correction of God. An example of children, obey your parents, and that thy days may be long upon the earth. Mom and Dad had to tell me that before I could read it, but it translated words into actions. It translated the word of God into obedience. Every interaction that we have with someone, whether positive or negative, teaches us we are going to learn something from them. We're going to learn something about ourselves, the way that we react to people. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. So something attacks us, or something, we respond to something, and before we can control it, our mouth says what our heart was already thinking. And when you have a positive interaction with somebody, it might be an excited reaction, it might be a negative reaction, but it speaks to what is inside our hearts, and it teaches us something. And God uses his people to share his word and to accomplish his will. He uses people who have learned from experience. I brought a knife up here, I won't bring that again. But he uses people that have learned from experience. A few years ago, one of our deacons told me to go to the hardware store and get rid of the hammer that we had. It was like old wooden handled hammer that was really rickety. And he said, get a solid steel. He was very specific in the type of hammer he wanted. Get a solid steel hammer. He was happy with this when I brought it back. But something about this is tuned to where when you hit a nail, there's no kickback. If you guys want to try it up when we get done. When you hit the nail, there's no kickback. And he's like, this is a good hammer. Now, he had me get one of the best hammers they had at the store. But the user of the tool is also important. And that's where God's people come into the equation. We have the words of God. We want to do the will of God. But God uses people and their experiences to teach us how to use the tools that God gives us. Brother Jack, before he sang that song, he said, this is why it means something to me. This is why it touches my heart. And for somebody else to stand up, they might sing the exact same words. They might do it just as well. It was beautifully sung. But to have that meaning behind it, to say, hey, this is my story. This is what happened to me. I was away from God. I was apart from God. And then I sold out to God. This is the tool I used. This is who God used in my life. And to say, I used it. You can use it too. And have another believer say, this is the word of God. It's quick. It's powerful. This is what I have used, and I can teach you how to use the same tool. Again, we got people working on the building. Brother Don is a master at what he does in the building, and not many people are going to be able to see it because all the work that he's done is behind the scenes and eventually be covered up. But he will know the work that he's done when he goes in that building, and he'll know the craftsmanship and the time and the hard work and many others. I'm sorry, single one out. If I start naming, I know many others have worked so hard to do that work and to say the right tool in the right hand, the right process with the right person, tying those two things together. Many times we come across something in the Bible that we don't yet understand. And I mentioned my mom and dad telling me what the Bible said before I could read it. But we'll come across it and we don't understand it. But because it's written, because it's preserved for us, we can come back to it later and say, well, you know, I didn't get that whole book before. I didn't get that whole passage before. But God has used that person and that person and that person. And now when I go back to it, now I get it. Now I understand it. And God's people support, emphasize, and repeat God's word. So number three, that we can get to the will of God. And God's process for meeting our needs starts with his word. Brother Jeff taught a good lesson on it at Senior Saints. The word of God, how important it should be to us. It meets our needs through God's people. The words are important. It's the eternal word of God. The people are important because they teach us how to use the words of God. And they all repeat. They point back to each other. My son told me, this was his deep thought. He said, going to church should make you want to read the Bible. The more you go to church, the more you should feel like you should read your Bible. And the more you read your Bible, the more you should feel like you want to go to church. Hopefully, if everything's working the right way, they should remind each other that that's where we need to be. A Bible reader should be in church. A churchgoer should be in the Bible. And number three, God meets our needs through his will. When I was younger, and probably true for many of you, when you were trying to do the will of God and find the will of God, it was scary. It was kind of exciting. You know, I wanted to make sure I married the right person. I wanted to make sure where I went to school was right. I wanted to make sure that I wasn't doing anything that would keep me from God's perfect will for my life. And while it was scary, it was still exciting and something new. And I think as we get older, if we're not careful, we'll say, well, I'm married now. Got a couple kids. You know, you get into your staid, relaxed way, and then the will of God becomes something that you were seeking after and not something that you remind yourself you're still doing. And hopefully that's not true for us on an ongoing basis, but if we're not careful, we fall into that category. I was driving down the road, Mount Morris, and I saw the church supply store. They had Pope collectibles and Pope memorabilia. Everybody's excited about that. Not everybody. A lot of people are excited about the Pope. And all these people are excited that the Pope's coming to their country. And I was thinking about the people treated as a once-in-a-lifetime event. But the will of God is a once-in-a-lifetime event for each of us, because we only get one life, and the will of God is something that he has for our life here on earth. And if they can get excited about the Pope, and they buy a bobblehead and a toaster with the Pope's picture on it, then we can get excited about the once-in-a-lifetime event of doing the will of God for right now, for today. Don't worry about the Pope, but that's okay. That's free. In Ecclesiastes, Solomon said, "Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with all thy might. There is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave." None of that exists in the grave. So if you find it to do, do it now with all your might, whither thou goest. God uses his word to accomplish meeting our needs. God uses other people to meet our needs by following his word. And God uses his will to remind us that we need other people and to remind us that we need his word. I'm skipping a lot, but I'm going to get done on time. All right, my final illustration. I know Pastor has a lesson on, or sermon on, be instant. He talks about instant coffee. I love that sermon. Every time he preaches it, though, I think he does not drink coffee. So I drink coffee. I brought some stuff here today. We'll be done in 2 minutes. There's a lot that goes into making coffee. This coffee pot, you have to put water in there. There's none there right now, but you have to put water in there. You have to have heat, and you have to have coffee grounds, and you have to have a cup. And you have to have, if you're not a serious drinker, you have to have cream and sugar. Don't judge me. You have to have cream and sugar. Okay. So if you love coffee, you like the smell of it, you like the thought of it. I remember when I was a kid and I wasn't supposed to drink it, but they had that commercial, the best part of waking up. And I thought, I can't wait one day, then I can drink coffee and be like everybody that's enjoying their cup of coffee so much. But I like not when sometimes when you can't drink it, you can just open the cabinet and smell the smell of coffee. And if you don't like coffee, plug your ears. But a lot of us like that final product of a good cup of coffee, but sometimes we don't deal with the whole process. And I was thinking about us as Christians. Many of us might feel like the filter, and none of us want to be the filter. But if you've ever drank coffee without the filter, it's not a pleasant experience. And there's lots of things that go into that process. It's gross. It's lots of things that go into that process to drink a good cup of coffee. And when God starts a process in our life with his word, with other people, finding his will, sometimes we get stuck in the process and say, you know, my needs aren't being met. I'm stuck here with a filter full of soggy coffee grounds and no good coffee to drink. And we neglect the process. And sometimes we get worried about the wrong thing. I want to get to the last page of my notes. We get worried about who gets to be the sweetener, who gets to be the creamer, who gets to be the spoon, who gets to be the agitator, and we're not sure that the coffee's good. And I think about this in our own life. You think about your kids and your grandkids. You might not have nobody probably has as much time with their grandkids as they would like. You can spend some time with my kids if you'd like to, but nobody probably gets as much time as they'd like. Nobody probably gets the relationship that they hope they'd have. Maybe things didn't work out the way they thought it would. But they get more concerned about the individual parts of the process instead of the kid turns out good. The kid loves mom and dad. The kid loves grandpa and grandma, and they want to stay in church because mom and dad and grandpa and grandma went to church, and they want to serve God because mom and dad and grandpa and grandma serve God. And sometimes we think, well, if I could just be the coffee, if I could just be the sugar, if I could just be the creamer, if I could just be the hammer, or if I could just be the knife, and we forget about that process, the process that we all want to see somebody turn out right. We all want to see somebody serve God and serve him with joy and say, you know what, I'm excited I get to do the will of God today. There's somebody I get to help today. Not everybody gets to be a help. Not everybody gets to serve God the way that I get to serve God. Many times in my younger years, I used to gripe and think, I'm the filter. You know, people come to me, they ask me questions, I give them the best advice I can, and then they always go to Dad, they ask him the same questions, he says the exact same thing, Why couldn't they just listen to me? But the more I thought about it, a lot of us need a filter. A lot of us need a sounding board to say, this is what I'm thinking about saying. This is what's been going through my mind. And then, you know, pastor, he can say the same thing that I said, but it means more coming from him. I understand that. And I've gotten to the point where I'm glad to be somebody else's filter. I'm glad to be somebody that can listen and say, you know what, it sounds like you got a grasp on your problem. You probably should ask pastor what he thinks too. And once we get satisfied with whatever role God puts us in, all of us can enjoy the coffee. All of us can enjoy the result of a kid or a young adult that loves God, a person that's lived their whole life and wants to honor God, that believes that God has something for them to do. God said, casting all your care upon him. In his word, he said, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. I told you I struggle sometimes with God meeting my needs. I don't live there. I think about it every now and then. And when I realize he's not meeting my needs, I realize I've left the process. I've left his word. I've left his people. I've left being excited about doing his will. As soon as I get back in line with the process, I can't find a need I have anymore because I'm back to serving God. I'm back to in his word. I'm back among his people that want to serve him. So I hope something I said, or Brother Jack saying, or one of the testimonies has been a blessing to you tonight. You're glad you came to church. Thank you so much for being here. We're going to stand and have a word of prayer, and we'll be dismissed.